Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and it is our first roundtable episode of the new year, and we watched a few things, although we're playing a little bit of catch up from last year. We started off with Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, and then we saw the rom-com, and I'm putting that in air quotes, Anyone But You, a major spoiler alert for both those things. We then caught up on episode 4 of Percy Jackson and the Olympians, and because it's not obvious from the episode title, we also ended up watching the first two episodes of The Curious Case of Natalia Grace, so a major spoiler alert for all of those things, and without further ado, here's We're Watching What? We are kicking off the new year by recapping something that technically came out last year, and that is Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. You two went to see this together, correct?
Yes.
You two had some liquid courage to see this, yes?
Yeah.
As is appropriate for Aquaman, yes. You know.
I was quite inebriated.
And did it make it at all palatable?
Yes, I had a great time.
Oh, okay.
Would I say it's a good movie? No. Would I watch it again?
Sure.
Probably not, even. But I was pleasantly tipsy and thinking everything was hilarious. I mean, Nicole Kidman gave me everything I needed every time she showed up. So.
Well, I didn't even know she was going to be in it because she showed up so late that it was suddenly like, oh, I guess she did. Want the money.
I don't remember. Did you I think Matt did turn to me as like, where's Nicole?
Well, I was waiting for her. I knew she was in it and I was waiting for her.
And then it was just
that I manifested it.
And it happened immediately after and it was very exciting for us.
Yeah, it's funny because I knew she was in it, but I was actually surprised by the level at which I felt Amber Heard was in it because I had read, Amber was like in the trailer for one shot, like punching the glass. And I had read that she was drastically cut down, which may still have been the case, but I felt like she had a decent amount to do in the film still. And I was like, okay, like they didn't actually, maybe they just said that. People who are angry or whatever, but like.
I felt it like it was a somewhat reduced part.
It was, but I also felt like unless they did a huge number of reshoots, it's like it was a buddy movie between him and Patrick Wilson.
Sure.
And so, like, I didn't feel like she would have been there for that anyway.
Right.
But maybe initially she would have. I don't know. Who knows? But
yeah.
I was just surprised. I thought she was going to have, like, one scene or something, you know?
Yeah. I think to me it felt like all of her scenes had been shot, like, on 3 days. You know? Not to describe, but it was just like, here's the, like, home stuff. And here's the, like, we're one day of underwater shoot. And then, like, one other battle day. And then, like, call it a get that paycheck, girl. Like, you know?
Yeah. I mean, she definitely showed up more than I expected her to. But you could tell, at least, I mean, it felt to me like every time she did show up, it was like, we couldn't cut this out because of XYZ.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, but
I mean, I don't think she needed that entire action sequence after Nicole. Like, I think you could have cut a lot.
That's true.
I think she was.
Maybe they had already spent too much money on it.
I was gonna say. I think that VFX budget.
Where?
Was, yeah. Well, that's a separate. You know.
Different combo.
Yeah.
I'm being shady, but I kind of like I had a weird experience. Like I was obviously inebriated, but I feel like I just like lost my mind watching this movie. Like it felt like it wasn't real. I mean, it wasn't, but it felt. There were times where I just was like, this can't be happening. And I hated the first one. Like, I thought it was a horrifying thing also. Like, and I was also inebriated for that.
Sure.
But I at one point after Nicole and Amber showed up and did the whole thing, riding on the fake sharks and stuff, that whole thing. Well, everything's fake, but those were mechanical sharks. They weren't like the real sharks.
Right? No, I know. But just like saying the words, like, you know, when they're on the sharks.
Well, they come around the corner and those sharks are swimming. And I was like, oh, hot Jesus. But after that, I was like, I feel like I just like blacked. I just didn't know what was going on anymore. And then at one point, like an hour later, I was like, does anybody know what's going on? And everyone around me said no. So I don't know.
No.
I don't know if there was no plot.
Honestly. Like, I was trying to prepare for this, and I was like, oh, my God, I don't even remember really what happened.
Oh, like, I don't remember what happened at all in the first one.
What happened?
Oh, I remember what happened
not
in this
the first one. I was talking about this one. I was like, I don't even know what I watched. Like, what did they even accomplish?
Well, nothing. I had to go get my, like, notebook, and I only watched this movie a week ago, if that. So, you know, and normally I watch, like, you know, a kajillion movies in a row. This is one of the last movies I've watched recently. So the fact that, but it was just, The things I wrote down was, this is trying to be Thor Ragnarok, both in, you know, Aquaman, like Jason Momoa to like Chris Hemsworth mapping.
Yeah.
At one point, they straight up call Patrick Wilson like Loki. So I was like, well, that was just, you know, we're calling it like it is. Randall Park, get that paycheck. And also did so much voiceover, like the most inane, like, now we're approaching the scuba thing. Now we're going to go harvest this. It's just so bad. This is all gibberish. And then suddenly it was way too late, like, to introduce the lore of the city or whatever it was. I don't know. It's just, it was awful. It was so bad. It was, yeah. I can't. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back.
Well, I come away with it, like, I honestly don't remember what the Lost Kingdom was. There were so many places they went that I don't remember which one was the Lost Kingdom, to be honest.
Oh, and it's the Lord of the Rings dead one. That was my other takeaway. I was like, oh, this is a Lord of the Rings, like, okay. Oathbreaker, like,
yeah,
plotline. Right. Like, it's the same CG, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, no, it tried that.
I mean, it tried so hard. Yeah. It really, really did.
On a Randall Park note, though, I will say, I spent a good, like, almost hour of the film having said to my friend, I was like, this guy thinks he's Randall Park and it's not working. And it was Randall Park. But I did not think that was Randall Park. I thought he like was like really trying to be like Randall Park.
And it turns out.
That says about the performance or what?
What does that say about the movie, right?
Like, well, everything. Yeah, I was like, I don't know. But it was Randall Park.
I guess good for him.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
One of my other notes, does that fish have tits? And is that fish Martin Short? And the answer to both was yes.
Oh.
It had like floppy, like
the one like Jabba the Hutt.
I don't
fish.
Even know. Yeah, the Jabba the Hutt fish. And it was Martin women. Short. Yeah, it was just.
Remember
yeah.
at that time, I just was like, we're not even trying. I mean, I shouldn't say that. The VFX artists work very hard, but like I was like, we don't care as a filmmaker anymore or as a studio that this just isn't even remotely passable as convincing in any way, shape, or form. It just doesn't. It doesn't care. The movie gate did not care about you at all.
But it gave
it just
him
said,
tits.
This is what it is, and this is what we're going to be. And you know, we saw it in IMAX, and it was a lot.
Oh, I bet
an entire amount. Yeah, and my favorite was when, well, not my favorite, but God, like when the baby was like talking to the fish.
Oh my
God!
Just
this big, like, astonishing moment. Like, oh my God. The son of a
we passed
sea,
it down.
A sea princess, mermaid lady, and me, the son of the queen of Atlantis. That baby has powers. It was like, what? He's talking to the fish. And it was like, no shit.
It was like,
sorry,
yeah, isn't
what did we
that
think?
The whole point? Like,
what did we think was going to happen?
Well, that's why I thought we had that big aquarium, you know?
At best, baby's a quarter human. At best.
If that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, like.
Yeah, no, you're right, a quarter human. Yeah.
So, like, come on now.
Oh, one of my notes is, how many times are they going to do the new suit reveal show off? Because they did it about 5 to 10 times.
Yeah, well, and that was another thing where it felt like it was going for Ragnarok in a lot of ways, too, was that Ragnarok was one of those movies that I feel like one of the first, I guess, of these superhero types that was like, we're just going to commit to, like, the flamboyance of these costumes and just kind of, like, what comics are, right? And this was just like, it was like, yeah, my friend was like, God, that his suit looks great. It was like, yeah, finally you're giving us a real comic accurate Aquaman suit for nothing. But, and then Black Manta, like letting him, I mean, you know, there's a whole slew of issues there, but letting him really look like Black Manta. Like, he had the helmet the first time, but this was like, this looked like Black Manta. And it was like, we're just, I guess, throwing it all out there because it's like, well, doesn't really matter anyway, does it?
Sure doesn't.
I don't know if they knew that when they were making it, but now they do. So.
I think at some point, well, in the post, I don't know. You're
true,
right.
True. And all the posts, point. Because honestly, like, he's wearing the suit, but like, as if you digitally, half the time he's not really wearing, you know? So
yeah.
It's like,
it was just.
Could have done whatever the hell they wanted.
So I saw it sober, which was my first mistake. Well, one, I saw it. That was my first mistake. Second, I saw it sober. Second mistake. It felt like a 20-hour movie. I could not fathom the time compression during this film was just, it was just ridiculous. I couldn't understand how there was so much of it left. And it's like a 2-hour movie.
Yeah. Cause I was like, oh God, it's
no,
only 2 hours
and
1 minute.
We were definitely like looking at each other, like, what is even going on?
I could not tell you.
It's because there was no real plot.
There was no real plot.
And making, what was the word? It reminded me of the first Avatar in the naming when it said Unobtainium and,
yeah,
Oraculum, is that what they called it?
And
they
made
me say that.
Yeah.
Watching Nicole Kidman talk about
she
the
turned
Oraculum,
and
was my favorite thing, I think, in the whole film. Yeah.
This is the problem. It had a plot, but it was completely like Frankenstein together out of four different plots that they forgot to like be like, oh, we have to connect these. And then at the end, they were like, Lost City. There's a city. It all comes in the city. Okay, bye.
Yeah, and it was like, I felt as if Black Manta through Randall Park, discovered this trident and the whole Black City being, or Lost City being a thing.
Yeah.
Just by happenstance? Unless I'm crazy, but like no, they were out on the ice and it opened? Like, what happened?
He's looking for remnants of Atlantis.
Yeah. Yeah. But he stumbles across that, I guess. And then,
which was like hidden away because it was too powerful for Atlantis.
Cool, right? But like so convenient. Like it was like without that, there's just no plot. It was just,
this was my other, this pissed me off because it was like, okay, you know, the fish people are complaining about global warming. I'm like, fine, this makes sense for an Aquaman movie. And then we find out that like not only, you know, no, he's not a fish person, but he is somebody who like wants to be in the ocean or whatever. I don't know. It just didn't make any sense to have Black Manta be like the reason behind this additional global warming. Like people are already doing that enough. We don't need a villain.
Well, because he just wants to kill Aquaman. And it's at that point, just like go kill this guy or sacrifice yourself and let it be Amber. Like, it's just this thing where I'm like, just fix this. But then, at the end, it just was like, it's like, okay, so are we to believe now the end of the DCEU as we have known it? So this first iteration of, well, not first iteration, but, you know, of these movies. But the first iteration since the DCEU has established itself. Are we to believe that, I guess, like, this is the ending and it's like global warming is going to be fixed?
Solved?
All these things. Yeah, right. It's just kind of like the most happy,
global warming?
Here's a bow. Here's the happy takeaway from everything we've put you through over this last 10 years. It's like, oh, good.
Oh, this was also I was like, wow, we just don't. I feel like they must have filmed the very last scene after they found out that like there was going to be no more, because he literally does the I'm Iron Man thing. I was like, what are we doing? What are we doing? He's like, I am Aquaman. I was like, oh, my God.
Exactly. And I was like, has this man not been out here publicly fighting with the Justice League and all that? Like, do people not know who he is? Is that like,
I didn't know. It was so weird. I was like, we didn't know Atlantis existed already. Like, I guess not,
because he was like, let's reveal it. And they're like, no.
But like, he's out here fighting with the Justice League and stuff. And I guess, people don't know who this or that is in superhero movies. But his face is just out there. I know the Clark Kent thing. But I don't know. It's just like, it's not. I just thought he was Aquaman and everyone just knew that. I didn't know it was.
Well, I guess they might not know that he knows that he's a king of a kingdom. But like, why leave that out when you're explaining who you are in the Justice League?
Yeah. But also, like, it's not that much weirder than the fact that he has these powers. That's
no, agreed. And that's why I just, like, that's why, like, why leave it out? Like, it doesn't make any, you know what I mean? Like,
I guess to protect people, because they don't want the surface world to know Atlantis even exists. So I guess to protect that. But at the same time, it's just like, okay, but you're still, you saying you're Aquaman. It's like.
Yeah, but then you need to establish that better, that it's a secret.
Yeah. Well, they did. The council did. Like, they were like, we don't want them to know we exist. Like, they had that whole conversation about why they couldn't.
Oh, that's right. That. Yeah.
But I don't know what that has to do with him being Aquaman, though. You know what I mean?
I truly don't. So after seeing Blue Beetle, I was like, oh, I'm like a little bit sad that, not sad, but I was like, oh, that's too bad. Like, you know, like I was interested in where this was going. And after seeing this, I'm like, kill it, end it, bury it at the bottom of the sea. We're fine. It's like, boot it, reboot it all.
Am I nutty, or did I read that Blue Beetle was going to go along with the James Gunn stuff? I thought Blue Beetle eventually was saved.
I don't think it was saved, but I think it like is doable. Like it's not attached to anything else, and so like it has a chance at.
Yeah, maybe James Gunn just kind of didn't
do super well. Like,
yeah, so they're like,
I don't think it did poorly, to be clear, but like, you know, it wasn't.
Well, it did better on Max than it did in the theater, but as far as views went, but
sure.
But that seems to be a trend lately. But yeah, maybe it was, maybe I'm just like, it was something maybe James Gunn like didn't say no publicly about it, but so maybe it was still up in the air or something. But I thought like there was like potential it was going to be kind of actually going over. But either way, yeah, I'm with you. I'm like, I liked Blue Beetle enough and I would be happy for all the players involved and stuff that got to continue on. But at what cost? You know what I mean? Like, it's like if it means if I have to lose Blue Beetle to lose all of this, I will lose Blue Beetle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, although I would be sad about the grandma. But see, the fact that I can remember something from Blue Beetle, which I saw months ago, and I couldn't remember anything from this without notes. Yeah. It tells you a lot.
I remember a plot from Blue Beetle. You know?
Yeah.
Full plot.
Character development, even?
Yeah, that's true, actually. There was character development. Well, all right.
Big as that is.
Yes, a sad but not end to the current iteration of the DCEU. Now, the next film we watched, you two did a double feature, yes?
Yeah, well, Jackie and I watched this one separately, but I did a double feature.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
they did a double feature, but I didn't go.
I was sober for it, though, because we ended up doing two different theaters, so I didn't drive. So I was sober for it, unfortunately.
Okay.
I did watch it.
So you did Anyone But You first, which, spoilers, Anyone But You is the film that we were about to talk about.
Yes, I did it.
I didn't think I could watch a film. I watched it after I watched Aquaman. I can't tell which is a worse decision. Since, Matt, you did the opposite, what's your...
Well, I was going to say, did you think at any point when they were in the Sydney Harbor that Aquaman was going to come save them?
Wow. Well, what would have been better and have made more sense if Nicole Kidman had come to save them? Because that
honestly,
is...
Honestly, that would have been really... Yeah.
Oh, my God. I would have loved everything about that. Like, if we're going to be as ridiculous as that movie was, like, you might as well at that point, you know?
Yeah. 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 On a scale of one to chemistry, where would you both rank?
Negative three.
You know, I was astonished, actually, because, well, I shouldn't say astonished, but I thought the trailer looked really stupid, but I was like, well, I'll watch it. You know, like, it's just the type of, like a rom-com when it's good, and, you know, you never know. And yeah, this was worse than the trailer even. There was stuff in there that I was like, oh, thank God you didn't put that in the trailer, because I would have, it just was, yeah, the chemistry completely non-existent.
Yeah.
Completely just, and I honestly, like, I'm not a huge fan of I don't dislike anyone. I don't watch things for Glenn Powell or Sydney Sweeney, really, but
sure.
I kind of blame her more. Like, I felt like he was trying and putting efforts out there, and I felt like she was just flat the whole time. And gave nothing.
I agree. I think that she relies on pretty, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Sure does.
You know, like, she doesn't think that she has to bring much personality to the character, that he should just be in love with her. But I think he was actually trying to promote chemistry.
In fairness, I think she was the more miscast character against him. I don't know who was cast first, but it did not work at all. And no. You're right. And it's funny. I think she's great on Euphoria.
I do too, actually. And I just so don't. I haven't really seen her in much else, I guess. But I she's not. I think she's great in Euphoria, but I'm not like, oh, I'm going to run out and see anything she's going to be doing. You know, and then this just surprised me. And I was like, she just was kind of annoying and just totally flat to me.
I don't know if it's only her fault, because this was so poorly written. So poorly written. And
talk about no plot.
Well, Jackie, I kept thinking of you during it, because I was like, this would have all been solved by one conversation. Just literally
one conversation. Hate those kind of plots, you know? Right. It's just like, please. It's frustrating, because I love a rom-com and I love a mid-budget movie, and I mm-hmm. wish that they could have better success so that we could get more of them. But they just keep greenlighting terrible ones, and I just don't understand. Like, does no one have chemistry reads anymore?
No.
I was going to say, what was the most cringe thing for you in this, Jackie? Because I feel like it was cringe. There were things that I was just like...
I don't even know if I can come up with a... Like, I just thought the whole thing, every time she opened her mouth, I was just deeply embarrassed.
This was more painful to me than Aquaman, but maybe because I had...
Yeah, it was.
Like, I like Jason Momoa, and I like...
I mean, I was like sober, too.
Yeah.
But I just thought that, I don't know, she was just so embarrassing.
What's funny is I didn't find things her character was doing to be very embarrassing. I just found the scenarios, the way they were put together and written in, like, I thought they were so cringe that it was just kind of, like, going for comedy in this way that, like, this is just not funny. And the writing was so mm-hmm. poorly done that... It was like, you're going for this cute rom-com moment, but you're not really landing it. And so that's why I was like, there were so many moments, like specific things that I was just like, oh my God, cringe. Like, and so I thought of you, because I was like, I felt embarrassed, and I don't have a problem with that usually. Like, I get embarrassed.
Yeah.
People, but I don't like, it doesn't ruin a movie for me usually, you know?
I can tell you my most cringe.
Please do.
And it is the credits when they tried to do the forced musical sequence. Because I am such a sucker for, I used to love that, like, God, what is, you know, like 40-Year-Old Virgin did that at the end, you know. And I was like, I always loved those movies that had that for whatever reason, you know. Not saying it's a great thing, but it's just like a time and a place. And it just, it, you know, it, it evokes a certain era of rom-com, and this felt so forced. It's just like that you had to script that part is a problem.
Well, why were they going with that song? Like, it just was like, okay.
So I have no, is she Australian? Like I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't, I never liked that song, but.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is I was like, she? Maybe.
I don't know. I'm just, I'm trying to think of, maybe the song was cheap, honestly. Like
maybe, but no, it was just like this. But like, like starting even starting to sing it when they're being airlifted. I also was very like, maybe I'm just like a stickler about it because my dad was a firefighter for so many years, but like I was so irritated by the use of this like public rescue service at just what so willy-nilly there? Like who cares?
I did not understand then, what was happening there.
Well, in the big moment at the end, and like, let me just jump off this cliff, and then you're telling me that it was gonna be less time to wait for them to rescue you than get them to take you to the opera house than it was just to go get an Uber to the opera house. It was like I get you wanted the moment of jumping off a train, but it was like,
but like, why? It was just so stupid.
I mean, I get what they were going for, but I just don't get like why, like it just, I guess it's just like, I was like, why are we like finding humor in this like misuse of a public resource? It just,
I know, I completely agree with you. I was angry about it.
I just kept thinking, I was like, the bill that they're about to get in the mail, you know how much it costs to our helicopter to come rescue someone? Like,
well, maybe Australia is not as,
maybe you're right. Actually, Australia could be totally different.
I mean, it could be, but it's still,
but also then be, what if being a terrible guest in another country, you know, where you're just like abusing the public services.
Like, well, and when they first
be rescuing people, Australia has like real dangers. 100%
they have stuff to do. Yeah. And like, and when they first fell out of the boat to it, it was like, and then the boat, there's like, oh, we can't turn around because shallow, blah, blah. And then like, it was just like, okay, but they just came from there. So right. I don't understand this. Like, I don't get away.
Right.
And this is a pleasure cruise, the yacht. It's not even like a, it was not that big. So it's not like you're in some freighter and you can't turn around in this harbor. It's like, how are you going to go back to dock if you can't ever turn around? Like, this is not going out to sea.
You just go out to sea. That's it.
It's not going out there. And it's just like, but then I don't know. It just was crazy. And, you know, they were out there and swam to the buoy. But at the same time, too, like, they weren't so far out to where, like, I felt that there was real danger except for the fact that a shark could eat them. But it was just the thing that I was like, I was just, the whole thing, I was just like, this is not funny. I wanted it to end right when it began. I will say though, the opening scene in the bathroom, I have been that person. I will say that.
Oh.
And like, never that soaked, but like I never took them all the way off, but I've been there in front of a dryer like that, like popping up and down trying to dry it off. It looks like I peed.
Goes back to my point of like, she also doesn't have any physical comedy chops, so like
nothing.
What's the point?
Like, that's the thing. It was so flat just from the get-go. It was just like, God, like,
yeah,
I don't know. And then, you know, the not stepbrother, brother guy who was the friend, but they treated him like, they treated Glenn like he was their brother, right, their whole life. But they were family friends, I guess, but he.
Yeah.
I felt like it was so cringy, just everything that they made that man say and do. It was just so like, it's like, oh, here's our hip black character. And then it just was so.
Oh, I know, it was a lot.
It was so tragic, and that huntsman spider. I know it was only a quick shot, and I know it was in the trailer, but that is my least favorite spider on the planet. And I was like, this is why I can't go to Australia. But that koala bear was really cute.
I know, but that made no. I don't know. It was so weird and woo woo, and I don't understand. I think they were like, ooh, we're being progressive because it's women getting married. I was like, congrats, yeah. I guess. I felt super creeped out by how often they made the cousin get naked.
Yeah.
The female cousin that he had a relationship with or whatever. I was like deeply upset by how often they made her topless.
It was so much. And then honestly, the guy she's with and the anteater joke and making us see that. I hated that. But like, why do you have to go that far?
I'm all for equal opportunity nudity, but this was not.
Same, this was an example of a film that like, it had no business being made, but also like, if it's going to be made, it had no reason, like, why it needed to secure an R rating. It just didn't need it. Like, it, right. Like, nothing about it. It was just trying to do weird, crude things just to get that rating, almost to, like, get the Judd Apatow audience or something. I don't really get it. And I'm like, when they should have been going for, well, they shouldn't have done it. But if they were going to do it, they should have been going for the people that like The Proposal. Or, like, you know, like, that kind of, like, rom-com fun. Like, that's what they should have aimed for. But I don't know. It was just such a weird misfire. And I cannot believe the audacity of releasing this as a Christmas release. Like, you really thought you were going to compete in this market?
No, they dumped it before Christmas.
Well, no, I know. Like, but I guess I just mean December's expensive. And
oh, sure.
They should.
And January is not. February. You know what I mean? Like, we're entering a drought. So
sure.
Maybe you could have done it late January and hope.
No,
that
seriously,
you had a little spike
I would
on Valentine's
rather
Day.
Not see anything than see this, you know, tell people to see this film.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't. Even if you were like, oh, it looks cute, I would be like, avoid it at all costs. And I normally don't say that. Like,
so
normally I'm like, if you're into it.
The only reason, not the only, probably the predominant reason I wanted to see it, it gave me Don't Worry, Darling vibes in that. There, you know, I'm not proud of following it, but there was like talk of like, hey, maybe their off-screen chemistry was actually the more interesting thing. And I think she's engaged, but I did go down a rabbit hole of just like reading about that. But
interesting.
Like, Don't Worry, Darling, not a great movie, but at least way more interesting than this. And that also speaks to, I think, like the level of drama versus like it's their relative levels of drama. So like this was the lowest. I was like, oh,
it made an effort as a film. It tried something.
Sure, sure, sure. But like, Don't Worry, Darling, there was so much buzz around both the plot and, you know, the press tour. And this was like the blip version of that. But it had that was the only way in which it was like, ooh, OK. But and then I saw it. I was like, no, there's no way these people are. Or they're the greatest actors of all time and tanked their box office performance in order to hide a real relationship. But I don't think either of them are that good.
And then they got everyone else in the cast to go along with it.
Right. They're like, guys.
That makes sense.
I mean, I'm sorry, but talent was not around in this.
No.
And I feel bad saying that because I don't want to, you know, I know a lot of people put a lot of hard work into making movies and stuff, and I feel terrible being just pooping on it. But it's just, ugh. Like, I just thought the whole thing was dreadful.
Yeah,
and
no, it was bad.
I don't think I even laughed one time, which is really, I don't know. Maybe inebriation would have helped it.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe, but.
I almost think it would have put me to sleep, to be honest.
Yeah, which would have helped it.
Which would have been,
would have been much better.
But it wouldn't have helped me. Well, it would have helped me, but.
Yeah.
But you know me, like, I don't like leaving a stone unturned. I like to form a full opinion on it.
Are there, with this script in place, do we think there are any actors who could salvage this? Only for the main two.
With the exact script? Like,
Basically.
I don't know that salvage is a word, but I think there are people who could have made it watchable. I like a fair amount of, like, not good rom-coms. Like, here's an example. This isn't necessarily a rom-com, but it has a romance in it, and it's all just trying to be family comedy. But remember You Again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have a weird soft spot for that movie where I found parts of it actually quite funny. Like, I don't think it's well written or like a good movie, but it's like, you've got Jamie Lee Curtis, you've got Sigourney Weaver, you've got Kristen Bell, you've got like all these people that I like enough to where I'm like, I actually like this movie. Right. Like, it's like, and so like when you put the right, but I mean, if that had this cast, unwatchable, just unwatchable completely. So I do think that, like, I'm trying to think who. But I do think there's a world where you get first off people with chemistry.
I think that's what it comes down to. Like,
that's the big. But let's say, like, even you know, he's not my favorite actor of all time. But let's just throw it out there that, like, if he wanted to stay, he doesn't have to be Australian. But what if you put Chris Hemsworth in the role? Right? He's funny. Like, he's not. I don't think he's the best actor of all time. But I think he kind of excels in comedy. I would say I have to go younger than what I'm saying. But like. A Chris Hemsworth and like someone of like a Rose Byrne brand of comedy. Like, I think that. And I will point out also that something different, but like somewhat similar in idea and kind of having to just kind of like pretend something is the way it is, just go with it, with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston. Like, I thought at least like or dislike them. There was chemistry in that movie. Like, I believed they were friends and had this all. I believed it. Like, whether you like them or not, like, for me, I believed it. And so it's possible. And I would say that movie's, I mean, I think it's better than this, but like marginally, like, I don't think that's a great film either. So it's possible. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to throw out a Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan. Peak, like, classic era Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan could probably.
Yeah, like back in the day. Like,
yeah.
You know. I mean, yeah. Maybe. I just think it's too raunchy for them.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I guess Tom Hanks can't pull off the hot part. All right. Either way, I don't actually know if there's any world in which this could be saved, but, you know.
Yeah. I think also, to be fair, like, back when they were doing rom-coms, I don't think they were all the conversations and, like, whatever about, like, the steamy night and all this whatever. Like, I think that it's a different time, whereas, like, if they existed today.
Agreed, yes.
And where I think that they probably would have fit it, because it's not that raunchy. It's just that it tries to be.
It's trying too hard to, you know, to get that R rating. It doesn't.
But, like, back in the 90s, it was, like, Pretty Woman was pretty risque, right? And it's like, well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. You're
we
right,
don't even see
right.
them do anything.
She's in bubbles.
She is a prostitute.
She is in the bathtub with bubbles, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're covered. Everything is covered.
Completely.
You know what? I'm going to go fully opposite direction. Give me, like, the cast of Book Club. I want folks from Book Club in this.
Honestly, just
I think they could save
Book Club 3, and I'd rather.
Yeah,
just,
sure.
You know, like,
yeah, I'm going to
say Jane Fonda
actually.
Could save this movie. Yeah. Done. All right. Well, moving on. So we watched the fourth episode of Percy Jackson. Mm-hmm. And I should caveat, you two were absolutely right. I'm very much enjoying the Egyptian series so far. I just started it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yay.
And then I haven't reread it, but I finally got from the library the first Percy Jackson. So I'm going to reread that. But have you warmed? Did I oversell it? Are we feeling a little warmer towards their chemistry after episode 4 or no?
Yeah. I mean, a little. I think what I figured out, and I don't know. But I think the lighting is making it feel very unreal. And I know that seems really like...
No, that's very valid.
But like there's, you know, because I was... When they're on the arch, which I've been there, and it looks exactly like that, right? Like the little elevator, the little like what... It's very spacey and like what... I was like, oh, wow, someone's actually been there. Or they filmed there, I guess, too.
Yeah.
But it was still felt kind of not lived in. And... Okay. I think it's the lighting that's taking me out of a lot of it.
It does feel
that was my theory.
Cheap a lot, even though
like the cheesy lighting
money. Yeah,
yeah. It's just like very, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was probably the strongest episode across the board for me so far, and I do think that their chemistry is better. I don't think that acting is much better so far, unfortunately, from mostly Percy, but I think like I'm still struggling with that, but it was nice to get a little more
depth.
I think making the arch a stronghold or like a sanctuary of Athena's, I think was like a nice little touch, you know, because that's not a thing, but I thought that was like a nice little touch that opened up the door to letting like Annabeth have a little bit of like a moment and like a little backstory stuff going on that I don't really think we get that much in the book, honestly. And I think that helped here for sure. But so I do think that you're right. But at the same time, I was like, I'm still just having trouble with this acting. And
I liked the quiet moment on the train when they're going to sleep and talking to each other. Like, I thought it was cute.
Yeah, I was kind of, I liked the lady who played Echidna, but I was a little bummed that like, I know the thing is, you know, we see everyone, you know, you, the mortals and everyone sees everyone as human and all that stuff. But like she, if I remember correctly, she's supposed to be a very large woman, I think. But she has like a snake tongue and like snake eyes and stuff. And I was like, why are we not getting any of the fantastical?
Yeah,
I mean, they had the Chimera looked pretty cool, I guess. But I was kind of like a little bit kind of like, ah, you guys, come on, let's, you know. And even when we got like the reveal of Medusa like last week, it was like, I don't know if it's just they were trying to save on CG and stuff, but it was just like we didn't get a lot of her, and it was like very few shots of her actually, and I'm like, but that's part of the fun, is like seeing these creatures, these people, you know.
Well, after having seen the Minotaur, I don't want to see some of these creatures.
Well, I guess my yeah, I want to, and I want it to look good, but yeah, it's like, you know, but yeah, I thought the actress did a decent job too, and she had that, she definitely had the creep factor in the way she was delivering and the facial expressions and stuff without having anything done to her, which is pretty cool, you know, but for an acting feat. But,
I love her. Yeah. That's Suzanne Cryer, and she's on, I think she got Favis on Two Guys and a Girl. But she's on Silicon Valley and she plays like, like the VC head, and she is so funny. Like, so funny. I find her, and I didn't recognize her at first. I was also like, damn, the hair and makeup department did this. Not dirty, but like, it was actually kind of nice to get to see somebody like sort of more naturally aged. I was like, I don't recognize her. I actually think they made her look scarier, probably, because I'm looking at her in like glam for the, she's at the red carpet. I was like, oh, okay, okay, this is not.
Yeah, yeah, so they must have done something.
The idea, you both know this, I'm very allergic to animals. And so when people have animals on transit, I'm always like miserable because they're always like near me. And so when it was a tiny like carrier case of an animal, I was like, I get this. It's me. I get it. It's my nightmare.
I know, I thought it was funny that it was like very clearly a creature in there, because I was like, I think, because in the book, I think she has a chihuahua. And then, but like, it was like, but it was just funny because I was like, I don't know. It was, I'm liking it though. It's still, even though I still feel pretty much the same as I felt before about at least like, it doesn't feel like I'm watching like a real thing. Like, I don't know, it's just, there's something about it. I was looking forward to watching it. I'm still looking forward to watching next week. So I still enjoy, I like it. I've never felt this weird about a show in my life. in the way where I'm like, I don't get like why I'm like not connecting with this, but I'm also like interested to be watching it when it drops.
Yeah.
No, it's so funny because I feel the same way where I'm like, somehow I'm not very emotionally invested, but I'm emotionally invested enough that I keep wanting to watch.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not like crying or scared or like whatever during this.
No, I feel like it's the like Leonardo DiCaprio point meme of a show where you're just like, ah, monster, ah, God, ah, like, cool. You know? But enough so that it's watchable.
Well, yeah, it is.
To its credit, that's kind of, I think the books are good, but to its credit, I think that that's part of what these books are too, is it's like, they're good, but you're reading and it's just kind of, when you love the Greek mythology stuff, it's just fun to see all this stuff,
exactly. Right? Like,
and so you're just like, oh, yay, ooh, that person, you know, and so I think that there's that element of, it is doing it justice there. And honestly, like, I know I pointed out a couple of differences that I remember anyway, here and there, and I'm sure there are a lot more than I'm even remembering on the show so far to book, but it's pretty, feels pretty accurate. And sequence of events and things like that, it's feeling, I remember, I don't think they met her on the train, but I remember
it
her.
It feels accurate to me, but I also... Yeah, I don't know if I remember the details all that well, so.
Yeah, I remember details somewhat, but it feels like they're changing little things here and there, but like not in a way that's like offensive or egregious. And, you know, so that's cool. I'm like, you know, that it feels faithful.
Yeah, it feels like he's so involved in this that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which sometimes is like a detriment, you know, but.
Absolutely.
I don't think that that's necessarily true here, because I do maintain that even though I think the acting could be better, I think that like the structure so far of each episode, it does feel a little monster of the week, but the structure so far feels nice. Like, no episode has felt way too short or too long, and the arcs have been there. It feels kind of, we're
the timing is
pretty good.
There's
a point to each one.
Yeah.
So,
agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and big moments in each one. Yeah, so I look forward to watching more. How many, is it eight? So we're like halfway through?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah. This is where I was going, guest star images. It's eight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Seems like it's eight. So we're halfway through.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. But.
Oh, well, yeah. Hey. Who knows? I'm sure they'll still be faithful and do it justice, but I'm curious to see how we get there. So.
Agreed.
Yeah, me too.
Agreed. All right. Well, we're watching what? What did we watch to ring in the new year?
What have I watched? I watched.
If anything.
I watched Ferrari. I was like, yeah, Ferrari.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
And then I watched Leave the World Behind, which I guess I'm late to, but I knew it came out when it came out on Netflix, but I just hadn't done it. I think, Dana, I think I had mentioned it to you at one point.
Yeah, I think so.
I actually liked it. I kind of went in with really, really low expectations, and I thought it had some good scenes, some good tension.
Decent. My parents really liked it. They were trying to talk it up to me, so I haven't watched it yet. But
my parents, it feels like a parents movie. My parents liked it, too.
Yeah, I liked it, and maybe I like Sam Esmail. Or have you seen his name more than I realize? I like Mr. Robot and I like Homecoming. So I was like, okay. I think he builds tension well. Did you watch it? Or?
I haven't seen it.
Oh,
I haven't seen
okay,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not like groundbreaking or the most amazing thing I've ever seen, but I thought it was shot really nicely and it had some good stuff.
Yeah. I started Righteous Gemstones, which I actually hadn't watched before.
That does not feel like a you show.
Yeah, and I didn't think that.
That's interesting because I'm liking it so far. I like it a lot better than I expected.
I mean, that's good.
It's just satire-y, you know?
It is. I think it's just because like Danny McBride's humor can sometimes be
gross,
cringier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, some of it, yeah, but yeah, I'm liking it so far.
Excellent.
Because I don't have any more Housewives to watch unless I start going international, but I don't really know how to watch them. So I have to figure that out.
Some of them are on Peacock, I feel like. I could be wrong.
I'm going to have to search for more stuff.
Yeah, they're harder to. I caught up on Real Housewives Girls Trip, Ultimate Girls Trip, the current.
The Legacy one?
Yeah, Legacy. And also, 90 Day Fiancé, The Single Life came back.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Yes.
I caught up on 90 Day stuff too.
It's like an All Stars of Terrible People. It was very hard to watch, but I'm enjoying it.
The Single Life always is, though. It's always those cringe people that you're like, oh, God.
Oh, but these are some of the, like, the worst of the worst, which has been fun to watch, but also painful. I say as if there's been many episodes. There has been one episode.
Yeah, but they're 90-minute episodes. That's the problem with that show, that franchise.
What do you mean problem?
So long. It's a commitment.
Oh, my God. It's delightful. And it's also the only one we're going to have for a while. So I don't think the next one's till March. But yeah, between that.
Salt Lake City's finale's on tonight. I'm so excited. Yeah. Oh. I can't wait to see if Monica's the Langlayer face everyone thinks maybe she is.
Ooh, I'm excited. It's going to be good. But yeah, I've been mostly watching TV. Yeah.
I did the what's up so far of the second season of The Curious Case of Natalia Grace.
I caught up on that today, yeah.
I watched the first episode. And then the second episode, to me, was getting so cringe with her.
I'm not finding it as good as
asking her to, like, talk to the other guy. They just look like they want to be famous. I don't know. It didn't feel... It felt Jerry Springer-ish more than...
I feel like it... To me, it's feeling overproduced by the people who are in it versus like the show. And I think they're like letting the clowns run the circus or whatever the actual phrase is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, I don't find it as good as the first season. Or the
yeah,
technically seasons so far.
Yeah. I'm finding it kind of irritating on a weird level because I'm like, well, what's his face? The dad that.
The first adoptive dad or the current one?
Well, the second one, I guess, technically, right? But you learn about the other family. But
yeah.
But yeah, the main, you know, like, trash. But I'm finding actually, like, the show as in general, the producers, everyone involved, I'm finding it kind of, like, to me, I have a bad taste in my mouth because I'm like, you released this first season of a show fully aware of, like, the conclusion and everything and what we were going to find, and you still chose to release it in such a way that, let me tell you, was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But like you painted this girl out to be a potential like murderer, potential murderer, but like monster of a human and everything. And it's like when you know the abuse and all these things, and I'm sure, again, I know we'll find more information. The truth, the absolute truth of it all is somewhere more in the middle than on either end, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a thing where I'm like, you let us sit there and like watch, and the whole appeal to it was like, oh, this crazy, she may be an adult and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was so put off by her for most of the first season and found it disturbing and all these things. And it's like, this is a little person with a rare type of dwarfism. And you're just like painting her out to be a potential monster. And like, I don't know, it just was like, it now has like a sits with me very not well.
Well, especially since they knew that she was.
That's what I mean. Before they released it, they knew.
Right. And so it's like, that's gross. And so now it feels.
Well, did they know, though? Because it feels like the timeline is. Like some of the testing is done.
Well, some of the testing, yeah, but the information. And I guess I guess it's like, okay.
I mean, maybe we don't know, but like, didn't the dentist thing happen?
Well, he had that information since she was a little kid, so it feels to me, I'm like, well, why couldn't we go access these records and stuff before when we're doing our first documentary?
I guess that's what I assumed. The first documentary must have had that. And so they were releasing it in a way that was like, Moore and Cendray, which I guess is their job.
Yeah, but I'm not defending how they did it.
No, yeah. It just feels exploitative.
I'm just saying that, like, and then this one where she's like defending her truth and speaking out, and it's like overproduced and just like, exactly. There was just like an ick factor to it that I didn't feel in the first one, where I'm like, oh, this just feels gross to me now.
Well, I felt like for me, like late in the game on the first one is when you start to realize that there's more to the story here. Mm-hmm. But it didn't give us like a full, like, I went into this still kind of like thinking that like maybe
we didn't know
was still
no
older.
Same.
Like, you didn't know. Mm-hmm. And you knew when you released that, you knew. And so that just like, it just puts a bad taste in my mouth, because I'm just like, this poor girl that's already gone through everything. And then, yes, she's consenting to be a part of this and all this, whatever, but I'm like, she's gone through everything, and you know how people react to things online and stuff. And like, I'm sure stuff being said was nasty and all that. I don't know. It makes it all just feel yuck to me.
Well, and it adds into the narrative of, you know, people who look like her being evil, right?
Or something to fear, or something to look at differently. And like, it's just like,
ugh. Right. And be afraid of. And like, it's just.
I completely agree with both of you. This is my question. Do we think that this is going to pivot to be about her new family? Because like that fight with the, and so that's why they like are sticking with it, because, you know, this, there's a new character in her life who is watchable in a horrifying way, in a different way. But that's what I started. I was like, you know, and wait, sorry, Jackie, did you see the second episode?
Only like half of it. So. Okay. But that makes me want to watch it a little more.
Yeah, tiny spoiler, but there's like an altercation between the dads.
Oh, yeah. It turns total Jerry Springer at the end.
Yeah, and it's just like, but it just didn't feel like it needed to happen. And it's two drama queens, basically. And I'm like, oh, you found a different like predatory, you know.
Situation.
Yeah, potentially.
Well, I guess my takeaway, though, is
better.
Like, as we're going over, because the second episode also felt a bit redundant to the first. Like, it's like, as she's telling her story and everything, it's kind of like, okay, like, it's, you know, I'm starting to get to a point where I'm like, okay, yeah, I get it. You know, and I'm like, how is this going to be so many episodes? But it just feels to me like, regardless of all of that, it's still a fascinating story and a nutty thing that happened. And if you still look at this and you're like, this girl, the mom knew she was probably 9 years old when she still made her go live by herself. Like, it's like, this is, it's still like when you have these dental records, you have stuff like
absolutely.
This. She knew this, right?
She and knew and made her go live by herself.
It's still a wild story and could have been told in a docuseries that wasn't making us question whether she was a monster or not. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could have done it as a look at this thing that happened, and we could have been aware that this girl was a victim the whole time. And it still would have been a really good story, because it
very, very valid.
And that's my takeaway. That's my thing. Is I'm just kind of
I can.
You
that.
Crafted this on purpose in a way to create like the buzzworthiness of it on but at what cost? That this girl's like, I don't know. It just
you knew she was a victim the whole time.
Yeah.
Like,
so it makes me not want to support it. But then on the other side of it, this is her like
opportunity,
you know, to tell her whatever her side of it and everything. And I want to support her side of it more than I want to support that first season now. Like, so,
well,
and I
well,
did
of
support
course.
That.
But I also sort of just feel like them giving her season to say her, you know, her voice after doing that to her is just kind of gross.
Well, it wouldn't have happened if they didn't make any money, you know. So, like, if they got no viewership, she would never have gotten this. So it's just like,
she
that's why I'm
never
such a gamble you're
it.
Playing. So you can't tell me this was always like in the books,
a plan, and like.
I mean, they started filming it very early on. Like, they were filming over the summer and stuff. So clearly, because it just aired in May, right? So clearly that was a thing. But I just mean, like, if the ratings tanked, there's no way that Max would have been like, yes, go forward and do another season. I just don't believe it. Unless it
generally,
was bought as a two-season arc.
I think it may have been bought as a two-season.
It may have, yeah.
Which, that's my only, because that seems to be like a thing.
Well, and in that
in vogue. It's very in vogue right now.
To that point, the first season ended very much cliffhangery, so it did feel like they were hoping to get a season two at least. So at least that was.
I don't know. I don't remember because I haven't seen it since it came out, but I feel like it was very like, she'll tell her story, season two.
Yeah,
you know?
It was. It was very like cliffhangery, and it was the trial and everything, but it was like, it wasn't finished, you know.
But I thought we were going to get like a more of a blow during the trial, and then we were going to kind of figure out that she either was or wasn't lying, but it was the court that decided, you know what I mean? And then the trial ended up not being a big deal, I guess. Or
right.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't a huge part of the story. I don't know. We're still talking about it, though.
I was just going to say, exactly. I was like, well,
because it's just impossibly fascinating. I just, you know.
It's a wild story. Like, it's something I don't know that I could have made up. And I, yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't want to. Wouldn't want to make it up. It's too dark.
I'm quite happy. I couldn't. Yeah.
All right. Well, Happy New Year. Thank you both. Yes, thank you. Thank you, as per usual, to Jackie and Matt, and that is actually it for this episode. If you liked it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.